Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Part two.
Yep.
Part two.
And part two.
No, we're doing part two.
Oh, we're doing part two. Okay, all right.
I'm part one.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is all just to, what's the word, deja vu?
Yeah.
Deja vu. And we also have Will Schmidt, who's sitting here. He still has his hair cut.
Still here.
Good haircut.
Hasn't grown much from 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. I'm just going to get it to exactly Tony's length.
Uh-huh.
So we can be interchangeable.
Yeah. All right, so if you didn't listen to part one, you need to go back and review that because there's a lot of good information in there. But we're talking about what if I had my gallbladder yanked?
So find the part one. If you listen to this on Terry James Alive, then go to iTunes and listen to part one. Or you can find it on Stitcher.com too by searching Kick It Naturally.
Or what are we going to do? We're just going to go straight into questions?
We're going to go right into questions.
Okay.
But for an announcement, I think that by the time this airs, we are going to be doing our Kickstarter for our weight loss documentary, Why Am I So Fat? So go to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fatmovie, I think is what it is, and find our Kickstarter thing, and you can do some things to get, you know, the DVD for other people or do other cool stuff
I'll
and be part
of our...
I'll
show up at your house and cook you breakfast.
Right, yeah. She would have done that anyway, but you can still do it. So come check that out and share it with your friends to help us spread the word and get the movie wrapped up.
Yeah. And because we're fancy now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
And a lot of what we talk about today when we teach people how to look at their own chemistry, we teach that in my book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, and that is going to be out on as an audiobook now. So you can get that book for free and kind of listen to it to learn how to look at your chemistry and understand your digestion better and all that.
And you can also take the 4-week free digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com.
True dat.
So, all right. So, let's just go into questions here.
I think we left off on Rebecca, and she was all excited because we mentioned her name, and then we didn't get to her.
Yeah, and then we didn't get to her. Sorry, Rebecca. If you've been waiting for a week,
right?
We apologize.
Still dealing with her cravings and just waiting for us.
Oh, you just gave away the whole question.
Oh.
Rebecca from Charlotte, North Carolina. Why am I awake at night with cravings?
Go, Will.
Spoiler alert.
Well, we did a whole podcast, this one, already, Rebecca.
So
yeah, well, I mean, there are multiple things that could be causing it, but most likely it's because you're not getting a lot of the nutrition out of your food that you're consuming, and so your body is waking you up to try to fix that issue.
Right. Maybe she misses her gallbladder.
Yeah.
Right, she's just sad.
Mm-hmm. She's craving that.
But a lot of insomnia and a lot of cravings, not all, but a lot of them, for both of those issues come from a lack of resources. And in order for us to pull resources out of our food, both sides of digestion need to be working, the acid production and the bile flow. And once you lose your gallbladder, you have lost that bile flow. You can still have bile flowing, but it doesn't have a place to accumulate and concentrate so that it can dump onto the food. So you have to have both of those sides in order to break the food apart and pull minerals and nutrients out of it correctly. So most people that have lost their gallbladder, unless they're taking steps to improve nutrition, are going to have a hard time getting the nutrients that their body needs, and they'll have issues like cravings, have a hard time losing weight, and issues like that because digestion is not working correctly. So we started talking about how to use bile flow in part one of this. So you can do those steps and watch the videos that we talked about in the free digestion course and see how, if you can improve your digestion enough to reduce those cravings and bring more mineral into the system.
All right. Robin from Edna, Texas. Had mine removed in February, and I have a constant cramp under the top puncture spot. It rarely eases. I'm assuming it's scar tissue. My bowel movements are never the same from day to day.
So like with someone else, it's possible to have scar tissue cause pain, but what's more likely is that you're having pain from the biliary pathway being blocked, which is probably the reason why you had to lose your gallbladder in the first place.
So it's just pointless, basically. No. Gallbladder removal is just pointless.
It's not pointless because if the gallbladder is gangrene, which it will be if it really gets closed.
Or if you have cancer in there or tumor or something,
some kind of horrible infection, a lot of times people need to have it taken out. But the way that it works now is that if anybody has any type of gallbladder pain, they're told, oh, we'll just yank that out. Mm-hmm. You don't need that anyways. We do it all the time. And that'll be $15,000. So it's just very, very common because, in a medical degree, you're not taught how to make sure digestion is functioning well. If they were taught that, they certainly would not be prescribing acid reflux medications.
PPIs.
PPIs. You got one.
I got a term.
So they wouldn't be... prescribing those that turn digestion off if they understood the importance of digestion. So obviously there is no reason for them to say, we got to save your gallbladder. Mm-hmm. It's a simple surgery that has very little risk. It's usually an in and out type of thing. So if they remove the gallbladder and those stones were in the gallbladder causing all this pain, now the pain is gone. But if that backup of thick bile that's getting crystallized and not flowing correctly is back into the biliary pathway. When you slice the gallbladder off, that pathway is still blocked.
And the person doesn't have anywhere to go.
Right. It's still getting backed up and causing pain that feels like gallbladder pain, even though your gallbladder's gone. So you can take steps to thin that bile and get it flowing, and then that can improve that pain issue.
Joy, I had mine out in 2001 and haven't had an issue since that time. It took 5 years to diagnose, and being pain-free has been awesome. I've never regretted it.
So, if you haven't had gallbladder pain, it's the worst thing that there is. Like, it's like they don't have one that's worse.
Maybe childbirth.
It's like you hear people that have had both say, I don't know. It's pretty close.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's really a horrible situation. And it comes on out of nowhere, and it's there for, 12 hours at a time. And it's a lot of the people, you can't do anything but ball up in the fetal position and throw up. Like, it's that horrible. So if slicing out your gallbladder fixes that, then a person is going to be very grateful and happy, and they may not understand that the lack of gallbladder is now causing some of the issues that they're dealing with.
Yeah, and there may be new symptoms that she's experiencing that she doesn't correlate with the fact that she doesn't have gallbladder pain anymore, like things going off in her metabolism. I'm not saying that she is necessarily suffering or experiencing those, but it's possible that there's ramifications occurring in her body chemistry that she's not aware of.
And here's the other scenario, which is not as common, but it does happen, and it is possible that if someone has their gallbladder removed and their bile still has the ability to flow through there, and maybe they're not making quite enough stomach acid, the amount of acid that they're making is enough to at least break their food down some, and the amount of bile that's flowing through consistently could match up with that acid level and help them digest some in a symptom-free manner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's totally possible to happen. It's just not that realistic for that to stay consistently for decades, because if you're not digesting food optimally, you're not getting as much nutrients out, and eventually the body's going to run out of minerals needed to produce HCl, and digestion is going to start to diminish and diminish and diminish mm-hmm. faster than it would normally as a person ages, because it diminishes anyways as a person ages. But this would just diminish faster. So, but it's not like someone can have a gallbladder surgery and feel better and not be false. It can happen. It absolutely can. Just all the stars need to be aligned and everything needs to be going right for that to be the case. Mm. And a lot of times the symptoms that people deal with, all the loose stool issues and, you know, all the cravings and the weight gain, all these nausea from not being able to multiply fats, a lot of times those issues don't show up immediately. So then they don't correlate that to the gallbladder being removed, because when the gallbladder is removed, they felt better. And all those things didn't show up for, you know, 6-8 months down the road when minerals started to not come into the system as well, all that kind of stuff.
All right. So, Carrie from Littleton, Colorado. Mine was yanked about 3 years ago. You just have to adjust your diet a bit. Cheeses and fried foods are not completely off the menu. However, you have to be careful what you eat, just like any diet. I had gallstones lodged in my gall duct, and I was extremely ill. Went in for emergency surgery, came home, felt better. No more major stomach pain. It was very painful. For years, I thought it was acid reflux. Called in sick to work a lot. The surgical procedure is a lot easier now that they use laparoscopy procedures instead of slicing you open.
Yeah, and that is a lot easier, and that's why it can be an in-and-out kind of procedure, but for some reason they still charge more. I'm not sure.
Inflation.
Right. But I guess she didn't have any questions. She just wanted to tell us.
She wanted to share.
Yeah, I like her. Thank you for sharing. Right, no, it's a good share. But yeah, so the pain that goes, that's why I'm never like, why'd you have it removed? That was dumb. You know, even though people have to pay the price, it's a horrible.
5,000 might work for them, or however many. I don't know the thing. It even, might be what they needed.
Even the loose stool, all the issues that they're dealing with, is not as bad as the pain that they were in.
Yeah.
And there is no information out there that helps people understand that if you're having gallbladder attacks, you can use things like beet flow. You can use things like coffee suppositories. You can remove specific foods from your diets that you can fix imbalances. There's things that you can do to help that bile thin to improve those attacks. And we hear from people every day that are doing that, and they're saving their gallbladder, and they're able to do that. But that information is not out there. So when someone has their gallbladder removed, it's not like they did the wrong thing, because the trade-off for the pain that they were having is, yeah, I'll do it. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
So now what this show is about is just helping people pick up the pieces and take steps to improve the best they can with what they have now. And you can do steps to improve your situation now. It's not going to be optimal, but it can be greatly, greatly improved. And you can fix all those loose stool issues and the nausea and the weight gain and all those things by using ox bile, like we talked about in part one.
All right. Veronica, I had my gallbladder removed 3 years ago. Ever since then, I've had several other ailments arise. I've gained over 30 pounds in the past 3 years and had a constant struggle on losing it, despite change of diet and exercise. I now have Graves' disease for the past 2 years. I feel I'm fighting an uphill battle all the time, constantly constipated too. I have recently started on a gluten-free diet. Could having my gallbladder removed set off other ailments? Yes.
Yes. You got it. You
okay,
got
it. We
correct,
answered it.
Veronica.
Okay.
Veronica got it. And, you know, one thing that we didn't hit on a lot is a lot of the autoimmune issues that were coming on, like Will was talking about before. But without the gallbladder and without that bile, since there is no acid meeting the alkaline, the food doesn't really get broken apart so that it still has an identity. And can you kind of explain, Will, how that can create the autoimmune type issues?
Yeah, like when we don't digest our foods properly, then our cells, our bloodstream doesn't know what to do with those large nutrients. Like it knows what to do with the little building blocks that it's used to, like the absorbable, bioavailable amino acids and lipids and fatty acids.
Minerals, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't know what to do with chicken or butter just in your bloodstream. So you don't do an IV of butter. It wouldn't work. So you need to break those foods down appropriately so that they can be incorporated and utilized. And if they're not broken down properly, then they just look like this huge truck full of something, a foreign invader to your body. And that triggers an immune response. Even if it was like grass-fed, free-range, whatever, it's still like a foreign particle, potential invader danger threat that the immune system responds to. So then you'll get all sorts of like issues of allergic reactions and inflammation in the intestines, inflammation throughout the body, different allergy type symptoms.
Different autoimmune type symptoms, yeah. Stuff like that. So it does make sense. And you can improve autoimmune issues. We talk about it a lot in chapter 9 of Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. And we talk about how to remove specific foods and some steps that a lot of people see great improvement through. But in order to really get that to work, you also have to improve digestion. And without your gallbladder, you can't do that without supplementing with ox bile, at least. It's just, in 99% of the cases, it's not going to happen. So you have to do the steps to improve the digestion, but then if you're having autoimmune issues, you're also going to have to remove some of those foods for at least a while, and it may be 6 months or more, and then reintroduce them one at a time to kind of figure out, okay, I am doing okay on this food now that my digestion is improved. But yeah, everything that you're dealing with is super, super common for what we see with people who have lost their gallbladder. And weight gain is a big one. I mean, a lot of the people that are attracted to our books and courses are people who are dealing with these issues because they lost their gallbladder. And when you can't emulsify the fats that you're eating and you don't have that sizzle from the bile meeting the acid and exploding the food, you're just kind of starving all the time. And you may be eating, but your body is not getting the nutrition it needs. So you have all these cravings and you eat the wrong kind of foods and gain weight. And, a lot of the foods that are right that you're eating are not getting digested. So they become toxic and that can cause weight gain as well. So it's just super common. So don't feel like you're a freak. There's reasons it's happening and you can take the steps to improve all that.
Lena, I had mine taken out last October after a few months of attacks that I thought were heartburn. After my surgery, my surgeon told me it was so bad that my gallbladder was totally gangrene. How did that happen? Also, prior to my surgery, I had never had a single food allergy. After I started having weird symptoms after eating, foggy head, headaches, stomach issues, etc., and I got tested and found out that I have very severe gluten intolerance and a wheat and chicken allergy. Could getting my gallbladder taken out have caused this? Oh, also, I've also gained about 15 pounds since my surgery. I eat relatively healthy and work out 5 to 6 days a week. I lost a lot of weight the first few months when I was recovering, but the last 7 months, no matter what I do, I keep gaining weight.
So Lena, just, you don't have to rewind or anything, but just call Veronica and ask what we told her. It's the same thing. And you understand that, you know, what Lena's going through, because it's like, you know, people, I'm working out more, I'm eating better, why can't I lose weight? And they get so frustrated and they think that it's just them, and it's really not. I mean, everything makes total sense. Everything that she just explained, it's not a coincidence. And when you understand the science of how the digestive system works, all the things that she's happens to be dealing with are what we would expect. Mm-hmm. It's the things that come right along with that. And it doesn't mean that Lena is screwed now. She may feel that way, but it just means that she needs to do a little more work now. And, you know, obviously if a gallbladder is gangrenous and it's just...
How did that happen?
Well, without that flow, it's easier for an infection to happen. Without that movement, that constant movement through the organ, then it becomes stagnant and not only can form the stones, but it's easier for it to become infected, you know, if it's so backed up. You know, when we get an infection to the body, there are things in our body that go to that infection and take care of stuff. But if there is no pathway to get there because everything's backed up and not flowing, then that may be why they can't repair. But in any case, if you don't take that out, then a person could die. And dying isn't good. Your digestion is not any better if you're dead. So it's not like Lena did the wrong thing, but now what she can do is take the steps to improve digestion by using the ox bile, and then she'll probably have to remove all the autoimmune foods, maybe permanently. But if you had to remove them permanently, it's not so bad. I mean, there's still plenty of choices to eat, and at least you get to improve, and you're not stuck in this, what's wrong with me? Why can't, you know, all my efforts are not doing anything? So you can improve.
Yeah. A lot of these foods that people get tested for and they're told that they're allergic to or have these intolerances or sensitivities to are completely contingent, not all, but a lot of them are completely contingent on the health of the intestinal mucus. And that being intact, things like lectin allergies, lectins are kind of in everything and they can trigger autoimmune responses, but they usually don't because the intestinal tract usually takes care of it and blocks
it. If it's broken down correctly.
Right. Yeah. Right. And blocks those lectins from causing any sort of irritation or autoimmune response. So don't think that you're stuck with this genetic sentence of being allergic to chicken forever or whatever right. it is. If you can heal your gut and restore that, the integrity of the stomach acid and bile flow and intestinal lining mucosa, it can oftentimes get rid of those allergic reactions and autoimmune responses.
And it's just our thought that, you know, that intestinal permeability thing is a big deal. You hear about leaky gut a lot and stuff like that. And we just feel like that seems to happen from food that doesn't get broken down correctly. And then it becomes more of an irritant and can cause, you know, that leaky situation where there's actually holes in the intestinal walls that should not be there. So then even if you fix digestion now, if you used OxBile and HCL and took the steps to improve all that, those foods could still cause a problem for you for a while. You may need to remove them completely, give your intestinal tract time to heal, that lining time to heal, before you try to reintroduce them again.
All right, Julie. Had a gallstone approximately 2 inches blocking my bile duct and had to have part of my liver removed as a result. Had surgery twice since to remove scar tissue threads as they grow around the large intestine and twist. Also had a hernia repair, didn't even know I had one. Surgeon, GP, both told me to cut down on fat. I gained 4 stone, always avoiding fat, but not realizing my healthy eating of low-fat foods was actually so high in carbs, especially sugars. Following a series of personal traumas, I lost 40 pounds in 3 months. Looked great on the outside, was having a meltdown on the inside. When I piled it all back on, was shortly diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. Trying this now has finally got my life on track again and focused. Wow. Okay, so what is stones compared to pounds? What's the ratio there?
Isn't it like 12 pounds or something?
Yeah, 12 or 14.
I can't remember.
12. I know kilos are like 2.5. Yeah. Pounds for every kilo.
But it's 40 or 50 pounds, probably.
Really? That much?
For 4 stone.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so she did. She gained a considerable amount of weight, and it makes sense and everything. And having part of your liver removed, it's not my favorite thing. I don't know how that's going to affect a lot of stuff. But, you know, one thing to look at is that what she realizes the error in what her doctors told her to do, and that they told her to eat low fat, which is certainly would help a person feel a little bit better, maybe be less nauseous because they're not taking in a food that they can't digest without that bile. But when you remove those fats, you're eating all these carbs now, and all these low fat foods are high in carbs and sugars and toxins and chemicals and all this junk. So the advice ends up being bad. Yeah. It's not so good.
Yeah.
And that constant slam of insulin from all those sugars a lot of times turns a person into a type 2 diabetic.
Yeah, which are almost always, if not always, highly catabolic,
right?
Which makes the whole bile flow issue even worse.
Right, so it does sound like Julie has had a hard time, but everything that she's going through makes sense, and you can improve the issue because you're doing the right thing by avoiding the fats, but if you can use ox bile and do other things to improve digestion so that you can emulsify fats, then you can introduce fats back into the system. You'll be digesting food more so that you won't be craving all this sugar and junk that your body can't use anyways. And that will help you lose that weight. And we see a lot of people that are type 2 diabetic kind of have their blood sugar come into range. And I'm not going to say they're cured, but their blood sugar's not in a range where they're type 2 diabetic anymore, and they're not on meds anymore. And we see people do this a lot. It's very common today that type 2 diabetics are taking control by changing what they're eating and changing how their body's functioning.
All right, Josh from Sydney, Australia, and I'm fighting everything in me to try the accent, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Josh, you're just not going to get your questions answered because we won't understand what Kenny said.
I'm not going to do it today until I go away and practice, and then I'm going to try it out on you. Okay, constant gastro discomfort since I had it removed over 4 years ago. I eat a clean diet and exercise as well.
So will we haven't...
Listen to everybody else.
but we haven't... touched so much on, you know, bloating and discomfort that comes along with poor digestion. Do you want to explain, like, the expansion of the intestinal tract and when it's bloating?
In relation to, like, the gallbladder removal?
Yeah, or the inability to digest, which is going to happen.
So, like, say you eat a bunch of fats and you don't have a gallbladder. So as those fats enter the intestinal tract, they're not broken down at all. And your body doesn't know what to do with that. And it can send some immune response to it, and it can also lead to maldigestion or fermentation and putrefaction of that food as it goes through the intestinal tract. So it creates all sorts of weird off-gassing. There's unhealthy gut flora that's creating all their off-gasses and air pressure, and that's what the bloating comes from, is the off-gasses.
Right, and that it can get to the point where there's so much bacteria and bad guys in there that... all that gas is creating a pressure that can actually cause pain.
Yeah.
That feels like I have a stomach ache, you know, or cramping or something like that. So that's very common with a lack of digestion. And if you, you know, even if it's not just the fats, even other foods that you're eating, proteins, if there's no bile to help properly break that food down and, you know, neutralize the acid, then that can rot and ferment and putrefy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like no matter what you eat, it's going to be a problem until you can digest it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take the steps to create that synthetic digestion with the ox bile and HCL.
And if they want to, they can always take the free 4-week digestion course at Kick It in the Nuts to find out how to do all those tests and get their digestion working.
True that.
All right, MI. From Paragould, Arkansas. I had mine forcibly removed 9 years ago. What, did they hold him down?
Wow.
And the only thing that bothers me is a glass of cold milk. I might as well be drinking Tacks. Yes, it hurts that bad.
That's horrible.
It's weird.
Especially if you love milk.
There's a few weird things about that statement.
There is, but I buy it just because of, you know, especially if you're not drinking raw milk, if you're drinking pasteurized milk where all the enzymes have been killed and... you know, lactase is a very, lactose causes a lot of problem if you don't have enough of that lactase enzyme. So I could buy into that causing horrible pain for sure, but it's just weird that that's the only thing that bugs you.
Yeah, like warm milk?
If you warm it up, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I do. I'm curious. I don't want you to do this because I don't want you to be like, yeah, it was like Tax. It sucked. I hate you. But I wonder if raw milk would do the same thing to him.
What about, like, dairy digestant?
Yeah, like using dairy digestive enzymes to help do that.
Yeah, supplements and things like
that. Right, like we use Milk Jest is a good one from Daily Manufacturing. But, you know, you wonder if that's the thing. It might not be worth trying it out. It's pretty easy to avoid milk, and there really is no need for pasteurized milk at all.
Yeah, and when you look at that case of, like, oh, you can do cheese, well, there's all sorts of, like, probiotics and enzymes and stuff that have been created in that fermentation of it. So I think you're, you know, probably right. If you tried raw milk, it would probably go well for him because there's all these cultures present.
Right. But the first step is that you need to get your digestive system to the point that it can break down the foods that you're eating, because if it's starting to slip and you're not digesting as well because of the lack of gallbladder, milk may just be the first thing that has created an allergy type response.
Because milk's hard to digest anyways. I mean, just a pasteurized milk's hard for anybody.
Right.
So, especially if you don't have
that. Other things could be coming if you don't make the changes to improve it.
All right. Swan from San Francisco, California. pesticides leading to food allergies and gallbladder disease. Look into the underlying issues. My gallbladder died inside me and almost took me with it. Emergency surgery saved my life. Now I have food allergies. Gluten, dairy, meat, and processed foods are not edible for me. High fructose corn syrup makes me vomit. My body says no. The food industry is poisoned. I eat whole foods now and prepare them myself. No pesticides, no chemical sugar syrup, no trans fat, no preservatives. Tony, did you write this and say your name was Swan?
No, because that used to be how I was. That is how I was when my digestion was off and, you know, I had like four different things I could eat and that was it.
Well, but the way she talks about eating is a pretty good way to eat anyways, but I understand you want the choice, you know, instead of feeling pain if you do the other. So
right, but in everything that she's dealing with, you know, those are the foods that cause the most amount of trouble when your digestion isn't working. So just like we did with Lena and Veronica before, it sounds like the best thing for Swan to do would be to first fix her digestion and then eliminate all the trouble foods while her intestinal tract is healing. And then she can try to see if they go back in. But, you know, some of those foods are things you want to leave out anyways. And she's totally right about all the junk that's in mm-hmm. processed foods. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. The thing is that it's not that you can never eat processed foods, but when your body's in a state like hers is, where it's going to war against every food that goes in, all those chemicals, and they're magnified. They affect her much more than they would a healthy individual with a good digestive tract that can break those down into, you know, easier things to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, never know what I can eat and cannot eat. One time it sits well, the next time it takes me down. The last episode still has me down. Nausea, vomiting, pain for over 11 days now. Try to drink smart water just to keep hydrated. Broth just to have something to throw up. Popsicles just to try and clean the gunk out of my mouth. Popsicles is a good idea for gunk in the mouth. I never thought about that.
No, I'm going to brush
my teeth.
I just
use toothpaste. Right. Yeah, yeah, but... If I knew about popsicles.
Yeah, I could just do that instead.
I want Rhonda to feel better. That doesn't sound like a fun day.
No.
And she's had 11 of them.
Yeah, that's not cool.
So by now, by listening to part one and part two, Rhonda, you should understand why you're dealing with this stuff. You should understand some steps that you can take to start moving in the right direction. But yeah, smart water has minerals in it. So if you're drinking that, at least you're getting something. Bone broth is a great way to get a lot of nutrients. Bone broth. Oh. You can make your own bone broth at home, and it gets all of those little collagen and gelatin and nutrients out of the bones that we don't get access to a lot. And plus, you don't have to digest bone broth. It'll go right in. So now a person has at least some nutrients. But the better answer is to fix your digestion using the Ox Bile and HCL so that you can start to get other nutrients. You need them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Becky from Pull Y'all Up, Washington. I think that's how you say it. It's how it looks.
Pull Y'all Up?
Pull Y'all Up. Had mine out in June. Gained 15 pounds quickly that won't come off. Also still have pain periodically and very inconsistent. Very inconsistent bowel movements. Sorry. Never know what foods will set me off.
You know, this is where you're a big fan of food journals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It can help to, like, to actually track it. Because you can, like you said, there's always a reason why, you know?
Stop giving him credibility.
You know. What else Tony said? But it does have a pattern, you know? And there's all sorts of variables, like where your digestion's at, and your sleep, and everything like that.
You just have to be honest, though.
Yeah, if you be honest, you can start to learn more about how it's working for you, like your body's actual responses to different things, and start to pay attention to your body chemistry as well. You can see even more factors at play that can help you really make sense of what's going on and what's off. And if you go through the Free Digestive Issues course, you'll have a much better grasp on understanding your symptoms and what's causing them and how to play with chemistry.
Right, and one thing to think about when you do food journals is that somebody could be food journaling and they'll have pizza and they'll do horribly. So they'll say, all right, I'm going to eat better food. So I have broccoli and chicken and then I do okay. And better food does better. So I'm going to have some rice and beans. That's still not junk food like pizza is. And then they're on the toilet again. So they may not see that, oh, it's grains that are causing this problem for me, or it's legumes or either of those things or some type of dairy. They may just be looking at it as junk food or healthy food. And a lot of healthy foods are not healthy if a person can't process them correctly or they're causing an immune response. So if you're having issues like that, read chapter 9 or get the free audiobook for Kick Your Fat in the Nuts and look at all the foods that you should remove to see, okay, do my symptoms improve? And if they do, then you know it's some of those foods that could be added back in after you fix digestion in the first place. Another thing is that, you know, it might not even be the food necessarily. It could just be at that moment the person had more minerals where they could make more stomach acid and they had a looser stool. Later, they might not have enough and the body couldn't make as much HCl, and so they didn't have to sit on the toilet half the day. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of variations in there that can do it. But if you can learn how to fix your digestion, you can find a baseline to where it's not, hey, today's mystery toilet says I don't need to sit on it all day.
Right. And that's where the self-test that we teach people to do in those courses can really come in handy, where you start to see like, oh, say you have low blood pressure and you take steps to fix that. All of a sudden your body has the chloride it needs to break down protein or to make hydrochloric acid and break down proteins and you're doing better. But you think it's just kind of random because like this week you can eat steak.
Right.
But last week you couldn't. What the heck?
Yeah.
You know? Right. Am I allergic or not? It's not, you know, there's more going on.
Right. And it's always good to help get like a health coach or practitioner to help you too, because to have somebody else look at your stuff without, you know, your thoughts.
Yeah, with everything that we teach people how to do, I would say that fixing digestion without a gallbladder is the trickiest thing. Mm-hmm. And it just means that there's a lot of adjustment that needs to be made with that supplementation. But it doesn't mean that you can't do it. People do it all the time as long as they're patient enough to, okay, that didn't work. Instead of thinking that I'm broken, I'm going to use that as information to help me find what will work.
Mm-hmm. Tony, it just occurred to me, I never told you I had my gallbladder out.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. 7 years.
That would have been useful.
I'm
going to
kill her. Chuck from St. Joseph, Illinois. I'm following a higher protein, low carb diet. I had mine taken out about 3 years ago. It has been a huge struggle to lose weight. Is losing your gallbladder related to the struggle of losing weight? Yes.
Yes. Everything we just said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and he's removing fats and reducing carbs. And the reduction in carbs can help with weight loss by bringing insulin down, but you still need fats to have your body let go of fat. But if you don't have a gallbladder, you can't process them. So you mm-hmm. got to fix that. You got to fix steps so you can use fats too.
Yeah. And that's a tricky thing. Even if you're eating them, you're still not digesting them.
Right.
So don't just think, well, I eat plenty of fats. Like you need help breaking them down.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, Fred, I wish my body would eat my fat. That would be good. Stephanie, Frederickstown, Missouri. I have no gallbladder, but yet I'm still constantly getting constipated.
So I can't remember if we talked about that in part one or part two.
I think both.
Part one.
Definitely part one. Okay, yeah.
So, but as soon as, you know, there are different causes for constipation, but one of them is a lack of stomach acid, which makes the stool move much slower because it's overly alkaline. So once you lose that bile, you lose the ability to really pull minerals out of food, and then you lose the ability to make enough stomach acid, and that's how someone without a gallbladder can end up constipated.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either too acidic or you're too alkaline.
Wait.
For the stool.
Not as a person. People get confused about that.
Yeah.
So if you're constipated, you know, supplementing HCl could fix that, but without a gallbladder, you're going to have to use ox bile too, or that HCl is going to make you way loose and cause some problems like a duodenal ulcer or something like that. You don't want to do that.
Not fun.
So take the free digestion course and really learn how to fix that issue. But there are reasons that you're constipated like that.
All right. Stevel from Bay City, Michigan. After having mine out in 2011, pretty much everything went fine. Heck, as soon as I woke up, they just made sure I could pee and sent me out the door, LOL. Went smooth as butter, but I've only had one issue since, and it's really irritating. It can even be low-fat foods that send me running to the toilet, lots of liquid. Heck, sometimes drinking water just sets it off. I really should see my doc. That said, to people thinking about abstaining from this procedure, when you're getting gallstones, things are stagnating, and at a point, will become gangrene. How do you say it? Gangrenous?
Gangrenous.
I'd rather have some stomach problems over dying of gangrene.
Right, so that's kind of the case. And since that's the only information that's available, that these are your choices, that I can remove that, or you can die.
Yeah.
People go, oh, I'm going to go with the remove it thing.
Right.
I'm going to skip the die part.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to skip this worst pain I've ever experienced and make me scream bloody murder. But just know that, you know, with what we've everything we've talked about, you can improve that. So, Will, let's kind of review the steps someone can take, first of all, to avoid losing a gallbladder if they're concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, our two favorite go-to support resources would be Beet Flow, which helps thin the bile so that it starts to flow well, and then either coffee enemas or coffee suppositories to help dilate the biliary pathway to help that now smoother running bile to actually get to move.
Right. So, and there's different ways you can do it. Those are the ones that we find most effective. Removing all trouble foods can work, but it takes a lot longer and can be less comfortable and annoying. But the main thing is you have to get the bile flowing again, or it's going to continue to stagnate, form stones, and cause problems.
Mm-hmm. You'd also want to look at correcting, if you're in it, correcting a catabolic imbalance, because that can make the bile just sticky and sludgy in the first place. And then also, we haven't really mentioned yet this episode about other things that can totally block the biliary pathway, like birth control, potentially like causing.
Sure, that can cause stuff that can stagnate things too.
Right.
So if you're on birth control, know that that can be pushing you in the wrong direction if you're trying to get bile to flow better. It seems to have the ability to do that. It has a lot to do with the estrogen that's in that birth control as well. So let's talk about if someone's already lost their gallbladder, they're having all these symptoms that clearly come from a lack of digestion, what do they do to improve that digestion?
Yeah, well, they're going to need to supplement with ox bile, which we've talked a lot about being a tricky thing. And the best resource to really get a grasp on it, I think you've created on kickinthenuts.com. Is it /gallbladder, or is there a particular URL for that that they go to look at the all the videos that you made?
All the videos. It's in the course, but talk amongst yourselves. Let me see.
Right. So, yeah. So when you supplement with ox bile, it's going to be a learning curve for you in understanding like the right timing for you, depending on the amount of fat in the meal, the speed at which the meal leaves the stomach, how big that meal is, your level of stomach acid. There's a lot of variables that will come into play from individual to individual and from individual to each meal that they have. So you're going to have to play with it and work out the timing to find what works best for you.
Right. The main thing is don't just get an ox bile supplement and take it. And there's also all these digestive supplements out there that'll have HCL and ox bile in the same capsule, and that's worthless. That's like driving with your foot on the gas and the brake at the same time. It's not going to go well. So you have to learn how to do it. I found the page where the videos are, and it's kickitinthenuts.com/lack-of-bile-production. So you can find that in the free 4-week course too, but that's just one URL that you go right to. I made those videos available to people that aren't even in the course.
Yeah, and once you understand how it's actually working, like all the different little processes of when the bile flows and all that, it'll make more sense to you. Like, oh, that's why I have to time it. I can't just take it with my meal. It'll make a lot more sense when you see the little bit of anatomy to understand about it.
Right, so the course teaches a lot of that. The book Kick Your Fat in the Nuts teaches a lot of that. And since you're listening to this show, you can get the free Audible book, and that can be the book that you get for free, so you can get it for free. But just know that it's going to take some work. You're not just going to be able to pop a pill and be fine. This is going to take some effort, but the good news is that you're not stuck with the issues that you're dealing with forever. You can really create a lot of improvement.
Cool. If you like audiobooks, you're going to love our sponsor. Audible.com is giving all of our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day membership. Go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link so you can get yours. I'll say that again. Go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link so you can get yours. And if you're interested in learning more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com, or you can head on over to Will's mybodyofknowledge.net and check out his stuff as well.
And don't forget to follow our weight loss documentary on Facebook at facebook.com/fatmovie and follow along with that so you can be part of that.
Yep.
Good times.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Where the sun is